Page 15.
15?
15, yeah. Okay, so continuing on the topic that we spoke about last time, which is the idea of schus avos. How do we benefit from the schus of our ancestors? Rav Dessler's main point was the fact that we do have within ourselves the potential which the avos nimalos put within us, and therefore, because the potential was there, that gives us special privileges, because Hashem sees that we have hope. Hashem sees that we have potential. Hashem sees that we have something worthwhile to work on, because we could actually become like the avos nimalos. So the next parak on page 15 is called Madrega Hachi Katana Shel Schus Avos. What's the very smallest level that one can benefit from Schus Avos within? So Schus Avos has many different applications. Some of us are zocheh that we're able to really grab on to the traits of the Avos and Imahos and grow into people that are on the caliber of the Avos and Imahos. Many people and generations can grow to that point. Sometimes you have people or generations that don't quite grab on to that schus. I mean, it's up to our bechira, it's up to our free choice, but some people just don't take the cue. They don't take that potential within and run with it. So then what's the very smallest level of schus avos that can exist? So he begins. He starts with the mashal. He says, sometimes you have something which you don't want to lose. So therefore, you tie it to yourself. You know, you tie it on a little string, you put it on a little hook, you put it on some sort of bracelet or necklace, because you don't want to lose it. People have for their keys, they'll have little like bracelets for their keys, or put the key on a necklace, cause not to lose the key. So you'll take a chain and fasten it to yourself so you don't lose what's on the chain. Like your watch, or like your keys. Even the chain itself is worthless. I mean, the chain itself is not what you want. You're trying just to preserve the item, but the chain is there to protect it. But the purpose of the chain is merely to connect the item which you need so you don't lose the item. So it doesn't break and get lost. So the chain, though, has no other purpose. And certainly, if you have one link in the chain, that for sure is worthless. I mean, the chain itself is just to hold on to the item. So every single link in that chain is just, you know, even more significant. It's just a means to an end. It's just trying to hold on to the item. So he says, but yet there's a need for every ring, because if you're missing that ring, the chain falls apart and you lose your keys. Because once one ring is lost, once one link in the chain is lost, the entire connection is lost. And then you're going to lose the item you're trying to save. So that's our mashal. You have your keys on a necklace. If one link of that necklace breaks, then you lose your keys too. So the necklace is not all that significant, but you need every single link to accomplish your purpose. So let's take that mashal and understand Hashem's hashkacha based on that mashal. So through this, we can understand the lowest level of schus avos. What's the most insignificant, meager portion of schus avos a person can actually gain from? Hashem promised the Avos that the purpose of the world will come through them and their children. So we know that Klai Yisrael is created to bring the world to its purpose. That purpose has to be carried out through the Bnei Avraham Yitzchak and Yaakov. That was the promise Hashem made to the Avos, as we've read in the parashas the past few weeks. So the great future ahead of us, I mean the thousands and thousands of years of history, that future that we know will come, we daven for, that Hashem's name will be sanctified in front of the entire world, that will come through Mashiach. But between Avraham and the Mashiach, there's many generations. We're still waiting for Mashiach. Avraham was a long time ago. So there's a lot of links in that chain between Avraham and Mashiach. And every single generation serves as a link. So every generation comes from the previous one, very similar to a necklace, with different little rings in the necklace, different links on it, to keep it all together. The rings and the necklace are all connected to one another. So you have in this manner generations or individuals. That based on their deeds, they have no zechus kiyum. They don't really have. They're not worthy to continue on. They don't have the right to live. They haven't earned their keep. Hashem should say they should be destroyed. This generation is all people who don't do what's right and forget about them. It's like Dor HaMabul. But yet they still survive. They survive not because of their own merit. They survive on the merit of their ancestors and their descendants. So you think about this. It's an incredible point in the Hashkacha. You have, you know, Hashem needs to keep that link together between the Avos and the Mashiach. The world has to come to its purpose through Klal Yisrael. So if there's a generation where Klal Yisrael does not really have any schus to survive, if Hashem or the Chasham destroy us, so then Hashem is cutting off that link between the Avos and the Mashiach, which he can't do, because he promised the Avos, through your children, the world reaches purpose. So therefore, Zechus Avos will give that generation their kiyum, their existence, even though they might deserve it in and of themselves, because they have to maintain that chain link between the Avos and the future. That can be true about a generation or an individual. Sometimes Hashem says, this individual is in the line to create Mashiach, or to create somebody who will do something great for Klal Yisrael, or for the world. But yet, this person's great-great-great-grandfather doesn't really deserve to live. He's not such a great guy. But I know, based on the family tree, there's going to be a great person in the future. So Hashem will therefore give that great-great-grandfather the schus to survive, because Hashem knows what will come out of that person. It's an interesting thing. You find that when Moshe Rabbeinu goes to kill the Mitzri, so it says, V'yar ki ein ish. Moshe Rabbeinu looks around, and he didn't see anybody watching. So Chazal make a drasha there, and they say the Moshe Rabbeinu looked into the future and saw that nobody good will come of this guy, and therefore I'll kill him. Right? But Moshe Rabbeinu has seen v'nevuah that somebody good will come out of him. Moshe would have killed him. I have to leave this guy alive because he'll have a great grandchild who's a tzaddik. Moshe Rabbeinu didn't see that, so he killed the Mitzri. And you find that a few times in Chumash and Tanakh, where you have such an idea that we look into the future generations and we say this person deserves death, but since Nevuah tells us in the future somebody great will come of this person, we're going to keep him alive. It's hard for us to understand, you know, such a thing. Yeah.
It's like the Moabite, right, the nation and the Moabites, and then they said because Ruth was going to come.
Exactly. We're going to quote that actually in a minute. Very good. Yeah, very good reference. We're going to see that in a second. Thank you. But if you find situations like that, where people are made alive for their descendants. So that is part of Zechus Avos. The fact that we belong to Klal Yisrael means that we have to carry on to the next generation, because that is supposed to bring the world to a certain tachlis. Kedor hazeh, mamash melalu, this generation, or this person, heima ko tebas v'shashalos achibar ahi, they are just a ring in the chain. V'azeh yisibas kumam, this is why they deserve to survive. Kibildeyam ein chibar ben avoseyam v'doros yavo. Because without this person as a link in the chain, the future generations won't come. So a person like this will remain in this world, even though he or she has no personal merit to remain here. Hashem will keep them around because of the future. So there is an idea of Zechus Avos, or we would call even some form of Rahmanis, which comes out of that, not based on you and what you're doing, but based on what you will bring about in the future in your descendants. So now we're going to quote the reference that we just mentioned. We find this idea in the Gemara. It says in the Gemara, it says in the Pasuk, in Devarim, Al Tatzaras Moav. When Klal Yisrael are in the desert, and they're trying to enter into Israel, and they have to defeat all the nations around so they can enter into the land. So Hashem tells them they should not fight against Moav. Leave Moav alone. So they fought against Midian, they had to fight against, you know, there are different nations to fight. They fought Amalek, they fought the Canaanite nations. Moab, they weren't allowed to fight. So Nasa Moshe Kav HaChomer B'atzmo. So Moshe Rabbeinu made a Kav HaChomer. Ma Midianim Shalbo El Azoras Moav. The Midianim, the people of Midian, they came to help Moav. And we went to kill them. So then Moav, who was the real enemy, why don't we go kill them? Meaning, if you're killing those who are just helping out your enemy, so you should kill your enemy too. So why does Hashem say, kill Midian, go and take revenge against Midian, but don't fight Moav? So Hashem told Moshe Rabbeinu, I'm not thinking what you're thinking. I have a different line of reasoning over here, Hashem says. There's two Pretos Tovos is like literally a Pretos is like a mule, but to future descendants, which will come out of this person, or actually a Pretos also be a bird. I think that means bird here, not mule. But there's two future birds that will descend from this nation. Rusna Moavia and Nama Amonis. You weren't supposed to fight against Ammon or Moav, because Moav will produce Rus, and Ammon will produce Nama, who is a wife of Shlomo. So because of these two individual ladies, Hashem had pity on two great nations of Rishayim, v'lechrivam, and didn't destroy them. So this is exactly our point. There was somebody in the future that was destined to come out of this nation. Somebody great. Rus. Rus, who is the great-grandmother of David HaMelech, and who will be the great-grandmother of Mashiach. And Amma Amonis. So Hashem said, don't destroy that nation, even though they themselves are Rishayim, and they don't deserve to remain alive, because we have to preserve them so that they could have their future descendants who are so great. So this is actually a concept of Rosh HaVatovlo. One of the questions that people often ask is, why do you see wicked who are prospering? Rosh HaVatovlo. Why are the wicked surviving? So there's many answers to that question. He's actually going to talk about that a little bit more in the next piece. But one answer to that question is based on Hashkacha. Hashem's Hashkacha sometimes that the Rasha deserves to die, but will survive because that Rasha will produce a great descendant who has to come into this world. So that's part of the Hashkacha of Hashem. So we often get upset by Rasha V'Tovlo. Why are the wicked prospering? But there's so many reasons why that might be. Now, we don't understand Hashkacha, and we can't see the future, but Hashem can. This is not said anywhere clearly, but you know, the Gemara talks about how Haman had descendants that converted to Judaism and became Talmid Chachamim. So did Sisera. People who were terrible Rishayim in Tanakh, but they had descendants who became part of the Tanayim and Amorayim, part of the great Talmid Chachamim of Klal Yisrael. So we could say, forget about Haman. I mean, Haman was killed, but he had descendants who survived, and those descendants actually brought about something good into Klal Yisrael. So you never know who's going to produce somebody great. So that's Perek Shin. Let's go to Perek Shlishi, the very bottom. So, but now he's gotten into this topic a little bit of Rasha V'Tovlo. He's going to expand upon this some as well, as to what are some other reasons why you may see Rishayim prospering. And just to put together the kind of the flow of the whole piece, we're talking here about Mius HaDin, Mius HaRachamim. What does Hashem do to run the world? Why does He punish some and reward some? So we've spoken about different ideas of Rachmanis and ideas of now preserving people for the future. So now we'll also understand Rosh HaVatovlo. Why some Rishayim get rewarded? Why some Rishayim prosper? So he explains. You might find people who experience very comfortable lives in this world, but based on their actions, don't really deserve it. These people are liars and cheaters, they're immoral, they're nasty, they're cruel. But they're living a very comfortable lifestyle. So we often think, well, that's Midas HaRachamim. Hashem, even though Din would dictate to have this person punished, Rachmanis dictates to leave him alone, help him out. That's often our thought process. Amnam, but it's not so true. However, Avshanira Kamosha Ba, the Midas HaRachamim, even though it seems like it's coming from Hashem's mercy, Hashem is providing for this Rasha because Hashem is so merciful. It seems that way. Sometimes it's not Rachamim at all. Now, last week we discussed how there's times where Rachamim dictates to punish somebody. Right? This person, have Rachmanis on the person and punish them so that they don't live their lives in such a terrible way. Right? That we spoke about that last week. So this is the opposite. Sometimes Din dictates to have Rachamim. Right, meaning really it's Midas HaDin, really it's a punishment. The Rachamim, what seems to be merciful, could actually be punishment. And we'll explain how that could be. Mikra Mafurashu, it's a pasuk. It's a very clear pasuk. It says, Meshalom Lasonov El Panov La'avido. It says Hashem will reward those who He hates in front of Him in order to destroy him. I mean, sometimes a reward could actually destroy the person. And we'll explain. Vayashem Atargum, Shekosh Baruch Hu Mesham Schar Tov L'Rashayim Ba'ad Mitzvosim Olam Haza. Hashem will reward the wicked for their mitzvahs in this world. Even the wicked do some nice things. I mean, there's nobody out there that's 100% wicked. Even somebody wicked, you know, he might have, you know, helped out his mother at some point. Maybe he, like, you know, helped a friend. You know, a lot of things he could have done. So, he said a kind word one time. So, even the wicked have mitzvahs. And Hashem will reward the wicked in this world for their mitzvahs. Kedei la'vid olam haba, so that they don't have olam haba. Meaning, olam haba is the true reward. As we said, you know, a few weeks ago, we spoke about that's the only place where we really could reward a mitzvah. But the wicked, who are mostly wicked, don't deserve that. So they'll get things in this world, which in terms of the bigger picture are not all that valuable, so that in olam haba they don't get any of that reward. So that's the Targum Unkelus, how he explains this idea of Mesham Lasona Velpanav Lavido. But many ask the following question. So we know, so this is the typical understanding, but there's a kasha on this. I am Derech Mishpa Vesedeku Asher Lo Daish and Ishu LaRasha Rabba Kol Averosav Asher Avar. Is it really just that we're going not just to punish the Rasha for his Averos, we're going to take away his Schar Mitzvah? Let's think about it. The Rasha, I mean, it's not, this is not such accurate to describe. Let's give it like a percentage. The Rasha, he's 90% Averos and 10% Mitzvahs. So we would think, well, let's give him punishment for 90% Averos and give him reward for the Mitzvahs. But why do we then strip him of his mitzvos? And we say, no, your mitzvos, we'll give you a few extra beers in this world, and you'll get anything in Olam Haba. Right? We'll give you a more comfortable couch, we'll give you a nice car. But no Olam Haba for you. Why is that fair? I mean, he did mitzvos. He didn't do as many mitzvos as he should have, but he did mitzvos. So why doesn't he get punished in Olam Haba and reward in Olam Haba? Why are we taking away his reward? That's the question. So I'm sure we've probably heard this concept before, that a Rasha gets reward in this world so that he gets punished in the next world. But does that really make sense to us? Is that justice? Is that fair? Yishlimu lo scharan rabam haze, and we're going to give him schar in this world, shubemes hevel havon, which is just nothingness. The schar mitzvah malekah. As we said a few weeks ago, you can't reward mitzvahs in this world. It's like picking off monopoly money. It's nothing. You know, so he really deserves tremendous. You know, he deserves $100,000, and we'll say, okay, you take monopoly money instead, and that'll cover your mitzvos. It doesn't cover anything. It's a joke. It's a zero. So why? How is that just that Hashem is going to reward him in this world and then give him nothing in Olam Haba? V'yesh b'inyan ze kama gedarim asher gam afi koten seichel adam uvanim hema. There's many levels to this. There's parts of this that we can't really understand. Meaning, Hashem's hanhagos often we don't understand at all. Because how can we have the audacity to think that we can understand Hashem's ways, as also we spoke about a few weeks ago? We know Hashem's thoughts are so deep. So, on the one hand, we'll give some answers as we usually do. On the other hand, who are we to think we can understand Hashem's ways of justice? That's beyond us. But we'll try to explain a little bit. Ach gam begidrei mishpatav, but even when it comes to Hashem's justice, ham'atim asher yesh lanu k'tas havana behem, we have a little bit of understanding. Dai lanu l'das ki yisharim v'mitzim darchei Hashem. We have to know that Hashem's ways are true, and honest, and just, and straight. Mishpatav v'tzarek v'emes. So we'll explain a little bit of it, and through this we can understand more. So basically the question we're trying to understand now is the issue of Rasha v'Tovlo. We see Rishayim getting rewarded, and often the question is why. So the simple answer based on the Pasuk is Hashem rewards them in this world so that they get punished more in the next world. They shouldn't reap the benefits of mitzvahs and Olam Haba, where the benefits are much greater. They should get paid off in this world so the next world's all punishment. What doesn't make sense about that is, why is that fair to them? If they did mitzvos, they should get schar for the mitzvah. Why are we shortchanging them on the mitzvos? I understand they need punishment for the averos, but they should be shortchanging the mitzvos. So he's going to give us some guidelines to understand this type of hashkacha and the way Hashem punishes and rewards. So, Aleph. Yesh kama madregos b'kiyum mitzvos v'maisim tovim. Ach yesh bem shtei b'chinos kolios. So there's many, many levels of mitzvos and Maisim Tovim, of good deeds. But there's two general perspectives he wants to give us. So we have one and two here. Number one, Hasuyim L'Shem Shemayim, V'Kvanos HaLei L'Vodos HaShem, V'Dabek B'Drach HaVakadoshim. So the best way to do a mitzvah, the way that we all strive to do a mitzvah, is that we do it l'shem shemayim, in order to cling to Hashem in His ways. I mean, total, it's l'shma, l'shem shemayim, because it's the right thing to do, so Hashem wants that of me, I want to get closer to Hashem. That's the ideal performance of a mitzvah. That's the ideal way to do it. Number two, k'shem asuyim shlo l'shma, sometimes a mitzvah is done lo l'shma, for ulterior motives. A few b'nei ha'maisim mehim tovim yasharim v'nosim chem b'neinu, or sometimes we do it not for ulterior motives, but because we feel it's right. It makes us feel good. I mean, I'm not doing it for Hashem's sake. I'm doing it because I think it makes sense to do. So that's considered a lower level mitzvah, because it's not purely for Hashem. It wasn't done for serving Hashem. So two general mitzvah categories, again, number one would be a mitzvah done l'shem shemayim. I'm doing it because Hashem said so, and I want to cling to Hashem. That's the ideal. Number two is a lo lishma, whether it be with some other motivation, or whether it be because I like to do it. I feel it's nothing to do with Hashem. I think it's the right thing to do. So it's a mitzvah. It's a lower level, though. It's not the highest level mitzvah you can do. It's a lower level mitzvah. So how do we take in these two different concepts? Hine haschar b'om haba, hushu sadikim yoshim v'chulei, v'nehenem ezev ashkina. Olam Haba for us, again, we don't really have words to explain Olam Haba. Chazal tell us, Ayin l'rasa kim zosech, only Hashem's eyes can perceive it. A Navi never saw Olam Haba. It's something that has no words. However, the description we give it is Sadiqim sit with crowns on their heads, and they have pleasure from the radiance of the Shekhinah. It's a very, very spiritual existence, and it's pleasure being taken from proximity to Hashem. Being that you're with Hashem and you're near Hashem, there's some great spiritual bliss which is there. That's the words from Olam Haba. We don't really understand that either, but it's the best description we got. So Olam Haba is a place where you cling to Hashem with incredible devekus, and you're able to be zocha, to merit an incredible amount of spiritual bracha through understanding and be close to Hashem. So that's the existence of Olam Haba. It's something beyond that which we can imagine. It's spiritual. It's out of this world. And that's Olam Haba. Amnam, in mitzvos asher aso sam adam hema begerot veikos lav yisbarach, azcharahu ki osa kedusha shebal nafsho adid veikos veshem yisbarach, teras lo bekiflik aflayim. So if you do mitzvos with the intent that I want to cling to Hashem, so then the reward you get is that kedusha. You are building up your closest to Hashem in Olam Haba. The mitzvah was done. I'm doing this mitzvah so that I can connect to Hashem. So you'll connect to Hashem in this world, and beyond that, in Olam Haba, you're building up this deep connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu when you're there. And the schar ends up being way beyond that which you ever intended. You know, I did a mitzvah in this world with the intent to connect, and I felt connected. In Olam Haba, you'll be connected beyond that which you could ever dream of. Alfei alafim pa'amim, thousands and thousands times more. Ambiyizke lohasig ba ad kriyaf sharos hachi elyona shuyuchal nivra lohasig. So then you'll be able to attain a spiritual level which is far beyond that which any physical creature could ever imagine. So that's if your mitzvos are on level one. You've created that. Olam Haba is our creation. Something that our mitzvos actually build up our schar in Olam Haba. So if our mitzvos are done to cling to Hashem, then Olam Haba, we will be clinging, and we'll be clinging very close, and we'll be getting that Hanah Mizev Shechina. We'll be benefiting with this tremendous bliss from proximity to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and from the spiritual pleasure of Olam Haba. Ach zesher maisav tovim aim hem osu enyesh odvekos bel yisbarach. But let's say somebody's actions are level 2 mitzvos. And they're not done because I'm trying to come close to Hashem. They're done for other reasons, or because I think it's right, but not because I'm trying to attain any sort of spiritual growth. So it's not really shaykh to this. So you don't get rewarded for mitzvos and if the rewards don't match. I mean, the reward's going to match the mitzvah. If the mitzvah transcends this world, the reward transcends this world. If the mitzvah was done for within this world, then the reward can be within this world as well. I mean, when you're playing Monopoly, Monopoly money makes sense. When you're working a real job, you need to have real money. So if your mitzvah is on the Monopoly, you know, level mitzvah, so you get paid Monopoly money. If mitzvah is on the Olam Haba level mitzvah, you get paid Olam Haba money. But it's a matter of where your mitzvah belongs. That's the money you get. So he explains further. He says, Al king kat ma'asher ma'isav im gam tovim hima. So someone whose actions, even though they're very good actions, avlo alu l'mayla b'mechina anoshis, but they never actually transcended this world. They remained very, very physical, material, human actions. Hainu ma'isim tovim anoshim, just good human actions. Yishum ze gam ascharu b'mechina musagas b'mhazah. So the schar also will be something of this world. So based on your actions, so is the schar. So the world in which your actions belong, that's where your schar belongs. So that's what's telling us a very important point. And maybe I'll break it down a different way for a second. The Olam Haba describes a very spiritual place. So somebody who never actually did anything spiritual in this world, when you're stuck there, you can't relate, because even the actions you did that might have been mitzvos, there's nothing spiritual about them. They're all just very limited material physical actions. So you go there and it doesn't even speak to you, because I don't relate to spirituality. It's something which I never experienced in my lifetime. So after death, your sensitivities don't change. You'll grow, you understand more, but you're still going to be the person that you are. So if your life was like we spoke about this I think a while back, when your life is a total physical life and everything you do is physical, and everything you do is limited to this world. So then, when you're put into a spiritual Olam Haba, where you're having spiritual pleasures, it doesn't speak to you. Now, a good mashal I like to use would be, we talk about different foods that are acquired tastes. You know, dry wine, or beers, or whatever it is, people have acquired tastes. So, if you don't have the taste, then there's no pleasure involved. If you have the taste, it's very pleasurable. If you enjoy dry wine, you can buy a $200 bottle of wine, and you'll really enjoy yourself. If you don't like dry wine, then it's disgusting. You spit it out. You can't figure out why I'm going to spend $200 on this bottle. It makes no sense to you. So you go to Olam Haba, and you have no acquired taste for spiritual pleasures. Then you'll sit there. It's like drinking a bottle of dry wine for a non-wine drinker. Like, I don't get what I'm supposed to be accomplishing over here. But if you are a very spiritual person, and the mitzvahs you do transcend the world to some degree, so you've developed a taste for spiritual pleasure, then Olam Haba becomes very blissful, because you have that taste developed already. It's an important thing. And on the other hand, for someone who's very spiritual, the physical pleasure doesn't always do it for them. Somebody who lives life, you know, trying to transcend the physical, and then they're told, okay, sit down over there with a beer and a massage, that may not speak to them. You can imagine the Gadol Hador taking a beer and a massage. I don't think he'd feel good about that, you know? He'd rather sit down with his Gemara and a pushka, you know, like that's his pleasures. So you have to develop the pleasures that you're going to. So if the pleasure for if the Rasha does a mitzvah, his mitzvah is not going to transcend the world. If he's really a Rasha, then whatever mitzvah he did, it's going to be a second tier mitzvah, which is still a mitzvah, still deserves a reward. But what has he built up? He's built up reward which doesn't transcend this world. So he'll be rewarded in this world. It's not that it's not just, and we're trying to take away from him in Olam Haba, but it's that he hasn't built up anything that's going to give him that reward. His mitzvah didn't go that far. Mitzvah did not touch the spiritual realms. Hazavers of Afurashu beGemara, Orach Yamin biYamina, Mismol Osher beChavod. So it says this in the Gemara. The pasuk says that there is lengthy days on the right side of Torah, and on the left side there is wealth and honor. So the way that the Gemara describes right and left, right is those who do lishma, doing it for the sake of Hashem, and left are those who are doing it for their own purposes. So they both get rewards. But those who go to the right, those doing it lishma, get orach yamin, which means olam haba. Lemaiminim ba, those who go to the right, those who are doing it in the level one way, orach yam ika, they get lengthy days. V'kol shekhen osher kavod, and they also get wealth and honor. Lemasmeilim ba, if they go to the left, meaning they're doing it for just their own purposes, their own ulterior motives, because they feel it's good, not because of Hashem. So osher kavod ika, they get wealth and honor. But they don't get the length of days in Olam Haba, because that's not their cup of tea, as it were. That's not what they've actually connected with and earned. The Perish Rashi, my meaning lishma, masmil and shlom lishma, the Orach Yamim hu liyom shikulu Orach v'kula tov. Orach Yam means the eternal world, shul Olam Haba. So this is the first point Rav Dessler is making. Understand, Rashi Avatovlo in a certain sense. Why is the Rashi reward in this world? The answer is because that's where his mitzvah has remained. His mitzvahs didn't transcend the world, so neither did his schar. Like I was saying, if you're playing Monopoly, you get Monopoly money. He's playing in this world, so he gets this world's money. That's what he gets. But somebody who's a tzaddik and doing mitzvos in order to connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and transcend the physical, so then their schar transcends the physical as well, and they get the schar in Olam Haba. So that's one perspective on seeing a Rasha in this world rewarded in Rasha V'Tovla. Now he has another perspective. Beis, Amar HaKasuf. We have a famous pasuk we say in Ashrei. Posech es yadecha u'masbia l'chol chai ratzon. Hashem opens up his hands and he satisfies every person with their ratzon, with their desires. Shashem Sbarach Mamali Ratzon Kol Nivra. So it's a very powerful pasuk. Hashem fulfills the desire of every creation. V'davar pashut hu ki ratzonos me'adam sosrin elus elus. Everyone has different desires. Every single person in this world has different things they want. Hein kol echad chafetz chol asher l'reihu. L'gamesh shalol l'yachpotz l'itein. V'yikin ratzonos shal zeh sosrin be'ikras ratzonos shal zeh. So everybody wants what someone else has, and we don't want to give away our own stuff. So therefore, my will contradict your will. Meaning, you want what I have, and I want what you have. We're jealous of each other, but I'm not giving up what I have, and you're not giving up what you have, so then it's all at a standstill. So it doesn't mean that Hashem fulfills everyone's desire. You can't fulfill both desires. So how do we understand that Hashem fulfills the desire of everybody? It doesn't happen that way. So I saw Mefarshim explain. This is referring to schar. It's not referring to possessions. It's referring to the reward which you desire. Why? A tzaddik, what does he want? A tzaddik wants to be repaid in Olam Haba. He says, I don't want monopoly money. I don't want the beer and the massage. I want the greater reward, which is in Olam Haba. That's what I want. So therefore, that's where he gets his reward. Chol chai ratzon. He gets his desire, his ratzon, he gets that in Olam Haba. That's what he wants. The onesh averos yinos in Olam Haza. And the tzaddik prefers punishment in this world. Why? Shemehir yachlof yavar. So the tzaddik knows this world is temporary, and it's passing. So I'd much rather be punished here in a very temporary world than be punished in the eternal world. And the tzaddik understands this world's not worth that much in his eyes, so I'd rather get my punishments here. So on the other hand, you get the reward where you want your reward. It's not when Hashem. Why is Hashem rewarding the Russia in this world? It's not because Hashem is being unfair and Hashem is trying to strip him of his schar. It's because you ask the Russia. You say, Russia, what would you like? He's not going to say, I want spiritual bliss. He's going to say, I want to have a big house. I want to have a nice car, and I want to have good food to eat. I want to have a good vacation. That's what he's going to tell you, because that's where his mind is. Those are his values. Rav Dessler says, while Russia, kol chefza rotzonu hasig olam haza, that all the Russia wants is to achieve and succeed in this world. Vimi shaluv, you ask him, yivchar lo schar mitzvah yishum lo menachas v'osher v'chav olam haza. If you said to him, choose your schar mitzvah, he's very happy to say, please give me comfort and honor and wealth in this world. He doesn't think about Olam Haba. It's not something in his mindset, because he's a Rasha. So he'd say, I'd rather distance Olam Haba, because I don't really believe in it anyways, and I'd rather just talk about this world. So that's where he gets his reward. So this is a second take on it. So number one, a Rasha could be rewarded in this world, as we said before, because their mitzvahs don't transcend this world. Number two, Rasha could be rewarded in this world because that's what he wants. You get rewarded as you desire. And obviously what we'd like to do is develop a much deeper sense of reward so that we have the greatest reward out there. There's a mashal, which I may have said before, but it's a good mashal, I'll say it again. It's a mashal which was said by the Chiddush Yarim. The Chiddush Yarim was, you know, one of the great Gerer Rebbes, you know, big Talmud Chacham, big Tzaddik. And one time, the Hasidim asked him a question. They said, there's a Gemara that says that Rabbi Elazar ben Dordaya was Zochet Olam Haba. Rabbi Elazar ben Dordaya was a terrible Rasha his whole life. He did Tshuva on his last day on this planet, and a Baskel came out from Shemayim and said that he is invited to Olam Haba, and he got smicha, they called him Rebbe. So he's a Rasha for, I don't know how long he lives, 50 years, and then he dies, and he goes to Olam Haba because on the last day of his life he did Tshuva. So it says in the Gemara that, you know, that Rebbe heard about this, and Rebbe cried. He said, people can be kona olam v'sha'achas. You can be kona your world in one day, in one moment. So you can live a life of rishus, and in one moment be kona Olam Haba. So Sittach Risharim, they said, it's not fair. You're a big tzaddik. You've lived, you know, 90 years of mitzvos and tzvi, I don't know how long old he was, but whatever it is, a long, long time of mitzvos and precious and limud Torah, and you've sacrificed yourself for it, and you've pushed yourself, and you've deprived yourself of sleep, etc., and you're a big tzaddik. And this guy lives a life of averus, and in one day he goes to Olam Haba. How's that fair? How's that just? You know, it doesn't seem to make sense. How could they be in the same place in Olam Haba a whole lifetime of Avos Hashem versus one day? So the Chiddush HaRim said, let me give you a mashal. He said once there was a wagon driver. There was a wagon driver back, you know, in Europe. These are people, you know, they're out on the road a lot. You know, they weren't always the nicest, most, you know, moral people. You know, they were away from their families. They did what they wanted to do. So there's a wagon driver. So he wasn't the biggest tzaddik. And he's driving his wagon down the road one day, and he hears a cry from under the snow. So he thinks he listens again, and he thinks he hears someone's trapped under the snow. So he jumps out of his wagon, he digs the guy out, he saves his life, warms him up, saves the guy's life. So this is a very big mitzvah. You know, Matzah Nefesh Achas Mi'Yisrael is way like your Mekayim Kol Torah Kula. It's an incredible mitzvah. You saved all the generations. So at that point in Shemayim, there was a whole discussion. Because they said, on the one hand, this wagon driver is a Rasha. No, he doesn't have such a great record. But he has a mitzvah now which is so powerful. If he were to die right now, it would weigh down the scales, and he would get to go to Olam Haba. So the Shemayim are not sure what to do. They say, let's go ask him. So they come down, and they ask the wagon driver. They say, you know, this is the story. We can take you right now, and you go to Olam Haba, or you can, you know, play the chances to stay in this world. So he thinks about it, and he says, no, I think I'll be taken right now. He goes home, says goodbye to his wife and kids. He dies, and he goes up to Shemayim. So he comes to Shemayim, and they bring out all the averos, put them on the scale, and it's, you know, it's like weighing way down, because this guy was not a big tzaddik. They take out this great mitzvah of saving a life. They put it on the other side of the scale. It weighs it down. And they say, okay, that's it. You know, the mitzvahs outweigh the averos. You can go to Olam Haba. So they say to him, so tell us, what would you like? What would you like your Olam Haba to be? So the wagon driver says, I'd like to have, you know, two beautiful white stallions to pull my wagon. I'd like a wagon made out of the nicest oak, leather seats. I want clear skies. I want long, flat roads and customers all day long. They say, you got it. That's your Olam Haba. And off he goes in his wagon. So the Chiddush HaRim says that the difference between a person who does tshuva on the last day of their life, or a person like myself, is that we all go to Olam Haba, but Olam Haba is different for everybody. Olam Haba is that which you can relate to. So, yeah, if you want to live a life of eternity of being a wagon driver in a nice wagon driving customers around, then that's one form of Olam Haba, and that's what this guy deserves. If you want the schar of sitting there being a henna from Ziva Shechina, having this incredible, you know, unimaginable bliss by being close to Hashem, that's only for those who work on a lifetime of Hashem and appreciate the spiritual. That's who explained it. It's exactly what Rav Dessler was saying. Rav Dessler was saying, your Olam Haba is really based on what you desire. It's what you want. So it all depends on, you know, where what is your, if what thrills you in life is chesed, is caring for others, is tefillah, is Shabbos, is Yom Tov, is serving Hashem, so then your Olam Haba is of that level. If what drives you in life is, you know, a good meal and a nice vacation and a big house and a big car, or a nice car, that's your Olam Haba. But you define for yourself, you know, what your pleasures are, and then Hashem gives you those pleasures. So that's the difference. So the Rasha, his pleasures are of this world. So Hashem says, I will give you pleasures in this world. The Tzaddik, his pleasures are of the other world. So Hashem says, I'll give you pleasures. I'm in the other world, because that's where your pleasures are. So that's the idea of B'chol Chai Ratzon. And also one more paragraph here. Rizzi O Bebir. You must be B'chol Chai Ratzon. Ki lehena adam emes el megia elav davar sheshtokik lasigo. I still have one more explanation of this. What does it mean Hashem gives you that which you desire? The truth is, people don't really enjoy things unless they actually desire these things. I mean, the greatest pleasure is when you have a yearning or desire for something, and then you fulfill it. I mean, it's a very simple example. When you're very thirsty, you have a cup of water, it's very pleasurable. if you're not thirsty, drinking water is not that pleasurable, right? And we have many things in life where you have that yearning, when you fulfill the yearning, then there's a lot of pleasure involved in that. Because the true pleasure in life is fulfilling a desire. And it works also on a deeper level. You have a goal that you set for yourself, and you achieve it, you feel great, because you achieved the goal, because that was something you desired to do, and you did it. But things which you get, but you don't actually try to achieve, you never yearn for them. It wasn't a goal that you had. So your pleasure in it's also not as great. Your pleasure is minimal. Here's an example here. We know it says in the Pasuk that Klal Yisrael complained. They said, we remember the fish we ate in Mitzrayim for free. So and now we're stuck with the man. So they're complaining about the man. They said, we remember the fish we ate for free in Mitzrayim. The difference between the fish, I mean, the man could taste like fish also. And then the man could taste like better fish than in Mitzrayim. So what's the difference? The man, they didn't have any desire for the man. There wasn't really hunger. They didn't have to actually work to get to it. It just fell down by their door. So there wasn't much pleasure eating it. When you're in Mitzrayim, and you're a slave, and you're working all day long, and finally the master plops down in front of you a nice piece of fish, that's very pleasurable, because you've been waiting for that fish for hours, you've worked hard for it, and now you have it. This is the difference between the man versus the dagim. Once a person dies, you have no new midos, no new desires, no new taivos, that you are what you are. Somebody who in his lifetime is totally physical. So when that person dies, he has no desire for ruchnias either, because in his lifetime he had no desire. Because as you are here, that's how you'll be there. So in this world, if you have this deep yearning for the spiritual, for Torah, for mitzvos, so then when you get that in Olam Haba, you'll feel great because you're fulfilling your desires. If in this world you couldn't care less about the spiritual and all you care about is the physical, so you go to Olam Haba, and also you're not yearning for it, so Hashem will provide you that spirituality perhaps, but you never cared about it, you never yearned for it, so you're not going to fulfill it. Finally, I've achieved my dreams. But if your dreams in life are the spiritual, so you go to Olam Haba, and Hashem says, I'm now fulfilling the dreams that you have. In Olam Haba, you don't change, except for if you change in Gehenna when you're punished for it, for your avirus. Kamor, as it says in Koheles, there's no actions, there's no thoughts or wisdom in the grave, meaning that you're not going to be able to change who you are. You're stuck as you are. So in your lifetime, if your goals were spiritual, to come close to Hashem, when you go there as well, you'll have that desire, you'll strive, you'll desire ruchnias, and you'll be able to merit coming close to Hashem, and you'll feel great because you're actually achieving your goals. So that's why the tzaddik schar has to be in the spiritual realm, because gizehu asher lo yishuf, because this is what he desires. And from there, he gets his pleasure. In the Russia, his desire, his yearning is for the physical. So he gets his schar in the physical realm because he won't enjoy the schar in the spiritual realm. He is not yearning for it. If you want to give a very physical person, a ben olam hazeh, something which is a pleasure olam haba, like a dvar Torah, an amazing dvar Torah, or saga ruchnias, or some spiritual understanding, she'isha ruchni yemusherbo, which a spiritual person will be so happy with. But the physical person will suffer from it. He'll count the moments. When will you stop torturing me? You know, enough of your Dvar Torah already. I've heard enough. You know, the shear is too long. So that's Olam Haba. So you're going to put him in Olam Haba. He's not going to have any schar. He's not going to enjoy it because he hasn't built up that sensitivity. He hasn't desired in his lifetime. It's not a fulfillment of his dreams he's had. So what do you want from him? You know, what kind of reward is that? So you give him reward in this world because that's what he's used to, and that's what he wants. So this is a third take in understanding the Russia's reward in this world. It's that this, one point, again, let's just review for a second. One point was that his mitzvos don't transcend the world, so they don't create anything beyond this world. Number two was he doesn't personally have any desire for the next world. And number three is that he doesn't even have a sensitivity to gain from the next world, because he never actually strives to achieve that in this world. So it's opposite now. It makes sense to give him reward in this world, because the next world is not really a reward for him. He's not going to enjoy it. It's not going to do anything for him. It's something which is will be for him torturous rather than pleasurable. So it's totally just for Hashem to reward him in this world, because that's actually what he's going to enjoy. Okay. Well, my bookmark. We'll stop there.